Oswald versus Beck. Council may approach. And our next case is Oswald versus Beck. Morning.
Morning.
May it please the court, my name is Matt Munderlow. I represent the appellant Wayne Beck in this matter. This case dates back to really the 1970s, and in May of 2018, after litigation in Dodge County District Court, the trial court, in its words, reaffirmed or clarified an easement that was granted to Ms. Beck, the plaintiff in that case, and her agents in 1977 is when the original judgment was entered. The trial court here, again, reaffirmed or clarified this easement under a declaratory relief or judgment theory. We believe that that order of declaratory relief was improper entirely because it does not resolve the controversy of the parties completely. And the evidence of that is in the record because there's some remaining dispute, we think, about use of property that's actually outside of that original 18-foot easement that was ordered in 1977.
Did either party request in the pleadings that the easement be clarified or expanded?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. The plaintiffs in their petition just asked for a declaratory judgment that the easement as originally ordered in 1977 be reaffirmed and that there be an order entered to explicitly apply it to my client, Mr. Beck.
And this all arose because your client started obstructing the pathway that they had been permitted to use in accordance with that easement, right?
That's true. There's evidence in the record, and Mr. Beck conceded during his trial testimony that there were some acts of obstructing that easement. I think that the plaintiff and Mr. Beck agreed to disagree about how often those obstructions occurred, but certainly there were obstructions over the years.
But your client was aware of the 1977 order granting the easement, and then subsequently, when property passed by distribution, then your client started obstructing the pathway along that easement, and apparently unilaterally made a decision that the neighbors had another way to access their property, so they shouldn't need to use it anymore?
Well, it's true that in the mid-90s, the plaintiff, Ms. Oswald, acquired a neighboring 160-acre tract, and I really don't think that there was any dispute at trial that they could access this formerly landlocked property through that later acquired 160 acres. And in fact, there's evidence in the record through photos and testimony that not only could they access that once landlocked property, but they could access it with huge farm equipment, like semis, combines, and so forth.
Is there any evidence that they abandoned the use of the 1977 easement that was granted to them?
There's really no evidence of abandonment. Mr. Beck's contention is that he simply shouldn't be subject to a mandatory injunction because there's been a material change in circumstances from the easement situation in 1977. So in 1977, there's no dispute that 40 acres was landlocked at that time. And that's what the plaintiffs in that litigation in the 70s alleged, that that land was landlocked, and that's what Ms. Oswald in her petition in 2017 again alleged, and that's what her testimony was, that the reason why that easement was pursued was because the 40 acres was landlocked. Well, then fast forward 20 years or so, the 40 acres is no longer landlocked because they have the adjacent 160 acres. Hence Mr. Beck's counterclaim that the easement should simply be extinguished based on that material change in circumstances.
When the easement was granted in 1977, was it defined whether it was an easement by necessity or a prescriptive easement?
I don't, my memory, Your Honor, is that in that original judgment that was entered in January of 1977, that I'm not, I don't think that either of those terms was used. I don't think prescriptive easement or easement of necessity appears in that judgment, and I'm looking at it now, and I don't see where that terminology was used.
Well, but the court, excuse me.
No, go ahead.
I think maybe we're going the same direction. The court made a finding in '77 that the plaintiff's use of that property had been continuous, uninterrupted, open, visible, notorious, under a claim of right. That sounds like a prescriptive easement to me.
It does, and that judgment was entered pursuant to a stipulation of the parties that I think is in the Bill of Exceptions. That stipulation doesn't use either of those terms either, but yes, it's true that there was that finding.
But given that, isn't the law that in order to lose a prescriptive easement, there would have to be evidence of abandonment?
That's correct.
And there is no evidence here. So if that initial 1977 easement constitutes a prescriptive easement.
Right, but then the district court went further.
Okay, maybe we can talk about that.
Right, so the district court reaffirmed the 1977 easement, but then also proceeded to, in its words, clarify that the easement is actually more than the 18 feet that was ordered in 1977 and more than what Ms. Ostwald, as a plaintiff in the instant case, had alleged it to be.
Was there any dispute in the testimony that this additional property wasn't being used? Because it looked to me, as I reviewed the record, that really the testimony about whatever this additional property is, and I will note that Exhibit 3, which was an affidavit, apparently had a drawing attached to it, is not in our record, so that doesn't help us. But it seemed to me that there really wasn't a dispute going on about this additional property. So I get the impression what the court was doing was just trying to comport to the evidence that had been presented by both parties.
So, yes, it's correct. Exhibit 3 is not in the record. That was an affidavit of Mr. Beck from a hearing when plaintiffs requested a temporary injunction, which was denied. That affidavit is not in this record. There's a survey, Exhibit 13, that Mr. Beck had done that does reflect some route of travel that goes outside of the original 18-foot easement. So now we're in another quarter of that section, basically. But there is evidence in the record, I think, that disputes whether that route of travel was actually the route of travel that was historically used. Mr. Vodvarka testified that yes, he used a route of travel outside of that 18 feet, but he testified that actually he specifically denied using the route of travel that was depicted in Exhibit 13. And I have a reference in my reply brief at pages 52 and 53 of the Bill of Exceptions where he's offering that testimony. So we're not sure what route of travel outside of the 18 feet that he used. And because we don't know that, and because we don't know how long of a period of time, whether it's under 10 years, 10 years, or over 10 years, we think it was improper for the district court to now include that as a part of the easement.
So assuming the other parts of the case here had been met, returning to the description of the easement as of the 1977 order, would your client have any issue with that?
Well, he would still have an issue with the entry of declaratory relief because the controversy of the parties is not resolved. Because according to Mr. Vodvarka, He didn't use that route of travel that's depicted in Exhibit 13. We don't know what route of travel was used. So the controversy of the parties is not resolved. Declaratory judgment under those circumstances is just not proper. I'd like to reserve the remainder. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
May it please the court. My name is Blake Johnson, appearing on behalf of the Appalese in this matter. I'd like maybe, if it'll be of assistance, to try to use this Elmo and put up one of the surveys that was submitted into the record, if it helps kind of orient the court.
What exhibit is that?
I had thought it was Exhibit 13, but Underlow is referenced. I don't have the bill. What's being depicted is that property, Oswald, south along the dotted line, point at the southwest corner, Oswald's property. Point of contention here, southwest path of travel at that southwest corner. Now, Mr. Munderlo has referred to some testimony from Vern Vidvarka regarding the path of travel used. If the court refers to the Exhibit 13, a survey done by Mr. Beck or commissioned by Mr. Beck, it will show that there is an alternative path of travel. But what was, if you read the context in which Mr. Vidvarka's statement was made, he was saying, I didn't use that alternative path of travel. My path of travel was always simply straight north and then veering slightly right to enter the property at southeasterly corner. And I believe what the record shows is that there were tracks from the surveyor who had been out there 2 days before, and the survey was done in February, and it looked like that was the path of travel, so it was depicted onto Exhibit 13. Mr. Vidvarka was simply saying, I don't go around like this. I do, I just angle off to the north.
So that testimony that he angled off to the north,
right,
is that path of travel outside of the original easement?
No, Your Honor. I think that what the evidence showed at trial was that their path of travel had never changed. This is an old farm road that runs simply far south. It's about 18 feet wide. It's an old field road. And they've always taken the same path. There's no evidence that they've suddenly changed what they were doing and that the easement had somehow been expanded in terms of its use.
Why do you believe the trial court tried to clarify in its order?
The request that we were making, the judgment was from 1977. The parties had a lot of back and forth that predated this lawsuit being filed in Dodge County District Court, and we were just struggling to get anyone to agree as to whether or not this easement, frankly, whether Mr. Beck would agree that this easement still applied and he was interfering with their use, and he was doing it at times of the year where they needed to get in there quickly for planting, for harvest, and he would park tractors, park his pivot within the easement, come out and verbally assault Mr. Vidvarka when he found him in the field. And so the appellees brought the lawsuit to ask the court to clarify, because at the time of the 1977 judgment, the property, Beck property, which was here, owned by Wayne Beck's predecessors in interest, his folks, Ruth and Harold Beck, that had been in, I think, 2007, deeded to him through a deed of distribution in connection with a probate. And we were seeking clarification, and in the hopes that that clarification would then get Mr. Beck to cease his interference.
Well, let me stop you there. Clarification in terms that it still applied to the now owner, the appellant, or that the description of the easement needed to be changed?
That it applied to the now owner of the of the Beck property.
Because I, in reviewing the pleadings, I did not find that either party was asking for a change in the description of the easement.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Is that correct?
The appellees believe that, as the, and as the district court found, the description of the easement in the 1977 judgment was sufficiently detailed. And given their, the law in Nebraska, which provides that the scope of an easement is defined at the time of the, during the prescriptive period, and the fact that they hadn't changed the way that they were using this easement, we didn't need further clarification. To us, it was obvious exactly what was going on. Follow up this. I don't know. Actually, a pivot well and a transformer platform that sit right there. At the, essentially, before they, as they're approaching the southwest corner, and a platform. Then there's a fence post. The photographic exhibits in the record will show that there's a fence post. So there's a very clear entrance to their field and the way that they have to go in there. I want to mention something about the acquisition of the property to the north. In 1996, Doris Oswald, this property here, and she inherited this piece of property here. And as Judge Bishop noted, Mr. Beck sort of made this unilateral decision that, well, they can, now they can go through that property. That evidence is not clear in the record. The judge considered that, but ultimately found it wasn't really a convincing reason to not enjoin Mr. Beck from interfering with the easement that was entered in the 1977 judgment. It's substantially difficult for them to get their machinery through there. Because of Mr. Beck's interference in the past and their need to timely get into the property, they have accessed it through alternative means at times, but never have they abandoned their attempts to use the easement. Mr. Vodvarka would allow Mr. Beck to harvest his crops because he would often plant right through the easement. He would wait until he'd harvested before he drove through there. They're attempting to be good neighbors here, but they've just sort of run into a situation where they weren't left with much of a remedy. So the injunction from the appellee's standpoint was necessary because from a financial standpoint, it's hard to prove what the amount of damage would be for any one single event of trespass or interference with their easement. So it essentially required them to bring successive actions. And so the district court found that although the injunction was already in place by virtue of the 1977 judgment, it should be reaffirmed or it should not be terminated and should continue to apply to Mr. Beck.
Do you have any dispute or problem with the fact that the court elaborated in its order that Beck is allowed to irrigate over the easement and that doesn't constitute interference?
No, Your Honor. We conceded at trial that that would be fine. The Oswalds, again, are trying to be good neighbors here. If Mr. Beck needs to run his pivot across that easement, because that's the way that it turns, they're not going to stop him from doing that. But they would like to be able to use that easement free from interference.
What about Mr. Munderloh's argument that declaratory relief was not proper given that all issues could not be or were not decided?
It's a good question, Judge Bishop, and I think it in a way kind of ties back to Judge Pirtle's question that we weren't asking for clarification here. So I think that the issues were resolved. The easement exists as it did in 1977 by that description. The path of travel has not changed. And I think the only dispute was whether Mr. Beck was going to comply or respect that property interest of the Oswalds or and their tenants, and if not, what the potential remedy for contempt of court would be. If there are no further questions.
Thank you. How much time do we have for rebuttal? 25 seconds, Mr. Munderloh.
Try to be quick, but I do have just a few things. So it's clear that in 1977, it was an 18-foot wide easement, period. And it was only in what the trial court said was the southwest Beck property, not the south Beck property. And for the court to grant a portion of that property for prescriptive use is just improper. There's a presumption against prescriptive uses. The plaintiffs didn't prove any prescriptive use here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you both for being here. The matter is taken under advisement, and council is excused.
Thank you.